This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's hour two of the Chris and Amy show. Chris Ranji, Amy Marks-Kors, glad to have you with us today. And it is time to go to the guest line this morning. And with flu season ramping up, we'd like to know just how bad it is and how bad it is compared to other years. To talk about that with us and what you can do to stay healthy during this winter season, Dr. Jerome Adams is the former U.S. Surgeon General and is with us now on KMOX. Dr. Adams, good to talk to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing well so far. I got my flu and COVID shots, and so far they seem to be working well. But as you mentioned, we're right in the middle of respiratory virus season. There's a lot going on with flu, COVID-19, RSV, and I'm just glad to be here to talk with you and your listeners about where things stand, what to expect, and how we can all protect ourselves and our families.
All right, I guess the first question that a lot of people have who have gotten their flu shot, how effective is this year's flu shot against some of the most prominent variants? Because I know I had a couple people say, oh my gosh, I got my flu shot and I still got the flu. And I know every year it's a bit of a guessing game, right?
It is. So flu activity is climbing nationwide. You probably heard about New York City having an unusually high case count for this time of year. And there's typically two major strains of flu A and flu B. And right now, the H3N2 subclad of influenza A is dominant, and it's driving an early rapid rise in cases. And again, we're seeing the highest number of flu cases ever recorded in a single week, over 71,000 in New York City last week. You may have heard that this year's flu shot is a bad match, and I'm doing my air quotes here. important to understand, each year, global health experts from the World Health Organization and U.S. regulators, FDA, CDC partners, they review flu data and they pick strains to include in the vaccine. And they have to do this 6 to 9 months before flu season starts. And then they take take that information and grow viruses and eggs or cell cultures to make vaccine doses. So what leads to a mismatch? Flu viruses, they're continually evolving. If the strains drift after that strain selection, which occurred, again, 6, 8, 9 months ago, the vaccine may be less effective when flu season actually comes around. So early analyses suggest that this year's H3N2 strain has drifted somewhat from the vaccine's reference strain, meaning effectiveness may be a little bit lower than ideal among adults. But, and here's the big but, it's still absolutely worth getting your flu shot because a less than perfect match doesn't mean no protection. Every percent reduction in hospitalization and severe illness matters. For older adults, for young children, those are the two groups who are disproportionately impacted by the flu, and people with chronic conditions. And when we look at Europe, where they've already had an early flu season, they've found that this year's flu strain is actually about 70% effective in preventing severe complications amongst adolescents and younger people, our children, and about 30% effective in lowering the risk of severe outcomes among older people. So again, not a great match this year, but still the goal isn't perfection, it is protection.
So that's the question, because a lot of people who have vaccine skepticism, just in general, they will say things like, well, if I'm not 100% protected, then what's the point of doing it? I thought taking the vaccine or getting vaccinated means I won't get sick. And if that's not true, why should I do it? So what do you say to people who think it's a shield that protects against everything 100%?
That is a great question, and it's one I get all the time, even from family and friends. They'll say, I got the shot before, but I still got the flu. What's the point in taking it if it doesn't prevent infection? Well, the public health goals are to reduce severe disease, hospitalization, and death. And we do have quite a number of people who die from the flu every year. It's to lower burden of healthcare systems during peak season. And as we've seen in New York, their emergency rooms are being overrun with flu. That means if you come in with a heart attack, with a stroke, with a urinary tract infection, you're sitting out waiting in the waiting room because the beds are full of people with flu. It's to protect high-risk populations like the very young, newborns, the very old, our seniors, our grandparents who we see around the holiday season, and people who are immunocompromised. And it's to slow broader spread in communities, excuse me, which will decrease risk of missing school and work and lower chance of spreading the virus to friends. And so what I would say to people is flu vaccines prevent many but not all infections. What they do very well, is they decrease severity, they decrease hospitalization, they decrease duration. You may be sick for 2 days instead of for 5 days, and they decrease complications for those who get infected.
What do we know about the K, the flu K that we're seeing, the variant? I had two friends go to Japan this fall and both got that version of the flu, the K variant or the super flu.
Well, you all are in Missouri right now, and it's important to understand, again, as I said, you've got flu A and flu B. About 98% of the cases, and I looked this up just to make sure I could give you accurate information for your listeners, about 98% of the flu cases reported so far are influenza A, and most of those are this subclade K, as you mentioned, that is causing particularly severe illness. And that is why we're seeing the emergency rooms overrun. In some years, you may have a strain that's highly transmissible, but it's not, you know, causing great severity. This year, it seems like we've got a strain that is both highly transmissible and that is causing significant illnesses, causing people to have to go to the emergency room. And that's what's circulating right now. And that's why we're really encouraging people to get that flu shot. I know that there's a lot of controversy and consternation about masking. But if you're traveling, wearing a good fitting N95 mask can also still protect you. And I just got home yesterday from our Christmas vacation, and I saw quite a few people wearing masks in the airport. But then also simple things like just washing your hands, using some sanitizer, keeping sanitizer with you, because flu also travels by droplet transmission, which means that you're touching doorknobs, you're touching things that other people are touching in the airport or on the bus. And that's a way that you can transmit flu to yourself once you then touch your face afterwards.
Talking to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Jerome Adams, who was under President Trump's first term, he was appointed by Donald Trump as the Surgeon General back in 2017. And since then, you mentioned it yourself that there's been a lot of vaccine skepticism, and there's always been some, but it has grown considerably in the last 8 years, and especially in the last 5 or 6 years. Are we doing enough to try and hold that back and to bring back a little bit of confidence in vaccines that used to exist?
I don't think we're doing nearly enough. And when you ask me that question, I'll give you as an example the fact that we're seeing less uptake this year of the flu vaccine than we've seen in previous years. We've seen measles outbreaks. We're going to lose our measles eradication status as a nation in 2026, because in 2025, we had more cases than we've had in three decades. We're seeing children die of measles and of whooping cough. Things that we haven't seen in modern times are occurring because of vaccine hesitancy. And a lot of that came out of COVID. And a lot of that is people's frustration. And we've got to acknowledge this with some of the policies, the mandates that occurred during COVID times. And that's bled over into hesitancy to get vaccines that people always used to get, like measles, mumps, and rubella, and even flu. And most years, about half of kids, according to the CDC, got their flu vaccine. We're seeing that dip. And so what I would say to your listeners is, if you have questions, don't go to social media, TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat to get your answers, because those people don't know you. They don't know what's going on in your community. And quite frankly, they're making money off of scaring you unnecessarily. Talk to your doctor, your pharmacist, your nurse practitioner, your healthcare provider to get the information that's going to be best for you and your family. And I will say to you personally, I never tell people to do something I wouldn't do. I have three kids. Two are in college, one is in high school. All three have gotten their COVID vaccines and their flu vaccines this season because they don't want to miss school. They don't want to miss a test. They don't want to miss sporting events. They want to be as healthy as possible. And we have immunocompromised people in our family. We want to go visit our grandparents. We don't want to make them sick when we're visiting them. We've got newborns in our family, newborn cousins. We don't want to make them sick. Those are all the reasons that I and my family get vaccinated and that I would encourage your listeners to think about.
This is, I guess, a slightly different question, but do you think we're still learning the repercussions of the COVID virus, the effects it has on our bodies? Because I always feel like, man, I haven't been quite the same since I got COVID. I know there's like a lot of inflammation. I just felt like COVID kind of messed us all up. Are we starting to get more and more data on how that virus affects human bodies?
Well, you said something that I'm gonna throw back at you. COVID kind of messed us all up. Yes, it did. It messed us up physically. It messed us up, psychologically and from a societal standpoint. And that leads to exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're still not having the right conversations about this virus. We're in a better place now. We absolutely are in a better place than we were in 2020 and 2021. We have vaccines available. We have treatments available. We know more about the virus than we did. But particularly when it comes to long COVID, we've never seen a virus behave quite like this in terms of its ability to linger and cause people to have chronic problems weeks, months, years after they get the virus. And that's another reason to get vaccinated or get boosted against COVID because you can have a mild case of COVID. And many people do have a very mild case of COVID initially, but it can turn into long COVID symptoms. And so that is what frustrates me. That's what breaks my heart. It's running into people day after day after day who were convinced that this was going to be just a mild cold for them. And weeks, months, years later, they're still dealing with the sequelae when there are simple measures they could have taken to protect themselves. Ventilation, making sure you've got your air filters in your home changed can help decrease your risk of respiratory viruses. Wearing a mask when you're traveling is something I encourage people to consider and that I do. But again, getting your vaccination. I and my family have done it. There are people who have been harmed by vaccinations. No medical treatment is 100% safe. But when you look at the studies and the totality, the vaccine on total is much safer than subjecting yourself to the virus unvaccinated.
Can you put that into numbers? Because I'm not sure people, they hear one person who may have had an adverse reaction to a vaccination of any kind. And to them, it's like they say, well, that's it. I'm not doing it because of that one person. Can you actually quantify it, though, like how much worse it is to not be vaccinated than to actually do it?
We know that the COVID vaccines and the flu vaccines provide 70% plus protection against severe illness and hospitalization and death. Even the problems that people report with the COVID vaccines, and the main one being myocarditis. We've seen in study after study after study that the myocarditis you get after getting COVID is far worse than the myocarditis a very small number of people. I'm talking less than 1 in 10,000 get after vaccination with an mRNA vaccine. And you can also consider Novavax if you're worried about mRNA vaccines for COVID. But right now, the big thing that's circulating is flu. And so I would encourage everyone, people are very comfortable with the flu virus. It's been around for most of our lives, and people are used to getting it. And this is a bad flu season, folks. It's a bad flu season. Emergency rooms are being overwhelmed. And so if you haven't gotten it, it's not too late. Please talk to your doctor, your nurse practitioner, your pharmacist, and consider getting a flu shot for yourself and your family. And while you're there, if you haven't gotten your COVID booster, then talk to your doctor about that too and make a choice that's right for you.
Yeah, and I'll just say, add this. I'm like knocking on wood here because as an adult, I've only had the flu once. So I'm like 20 something years, I've only had the real flu A, flu B once. It is so bad. Like the flu, if you get flu A, it knocks you out for 2 weeks. I mean, the body aches and all of that. I think we were, like you said, talking about other viruses or COVID or whatever. But then when the flu hits you, I forgot how bad it is. It's awful.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, no, nobody wants to get it. And the other thing that I would say is there are people who rightly say that they feel a little icky after the COVID vaccine, not as much after the Novavax vaccine. And also, for repeat, after your boosters, it's not as bad as the initial dose. And most people aren't going to have that icky, day or so feeling bad after the COVID vaccine that they did after the initial go round. But the flu vaccine, I got it, didn't feel bad at all. I tell you what makes you feel bad is getting the flu, as you said.
Yeah.
Growing up in the bathroom, coughing, home, and it really does take you about a week to get over the virus, and then another week, as you said, yeah, to start feeling like yourself again.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had a bad reaction to a flu vaccine.
Exactly.
Yeah, I personally, that's just me. It's never happened to me.
And it can happen. I don't want to dismiss people who it did happen to, but it the rate at which it occurs is very, very small that people have any sort of reaction to the flu vaccine. And for people to understand, the reason why you do sometimes have a reaction after vaccines is because it's your immune system doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And some people just have a stronger immune response to those vaccines. So even when that is occurring, it doesn't mean something bad is happening. It means your body is responding to the antigens that's being presented so that when the flu does come around, it can rev up quickly and actually fight off those viruses.
Dr. Jerome Adams, we appreciate talking to you and you giving us your time today. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much. Get the facts, and hopefully you will consider your vax. If you're sick, stay at home. But remember, vaccination is one of our best tools to protect individuals and protect our families.
That's Dr. Jerome Adams, former U.S. Surgeon General, appointed by Donald Trump during the president's first term in office and served throughout that entire term. So Dr. Adams with us here on 104.1 FM KMOX. It's Chris and Amy.
Okay, we were talking about vaccines and COVID and the flu should not be poo-pooed. It is the absolute worst. But I was thinking, I get questions about the COVID vaccine, and I'm sure there are repercussions from it that we're still figuring out. And as Dr. Adams said, no vaccine is 100% safe. There will be some people who get side effects, but it's rare. But the side effects, for instance, myocarditis, which we've heard a lot with the vaccine, was also a symptom of COVID and like way, way more prevalent with COVID than with the vaccine. And that's why, like I said, I get it. I understand people feeling hesitant. And I kind of felt like, I don't know about the vaccine, but I really, really didn't trust COVID because I had a friend who was a professional athlete who could not compete anymore after getting the original COVID.
Yeah.
And then a lot of hockey fans remember Jonathan Toews, who was an absolute stud for the Chicago Blackhawks, and he got the original COVID in 2020. And he dealt with long COVID for like 2 years in the middle of his career. I mean, this is a guy at the height of his athleticism. He went to India for, I think, 5 or 6 weeks because he could not recover from the long COVID inflammation, which is very, very real. After I got COVID, I swear I had the post-viral slash long COVID waves where you feel okay and you're running. I mean, it's been like, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 months after the infection. You feel okay, I'm running. And then like all of a sudden you just feel like virusy and fatigued for a day or two and then it goes away. And I would get that repeatedly. And apparently that was a thing. And especially like in the running world, we talked about it a lot because it would knock you down.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, the COVID has messed us up
in all sorts of ways. Well, it has. Yeah, totally. Mentally, it's really messed us up. And it's unfortunate,
so cruel.
Because, and, you know, the vaccinations by this point, it's been 5 years. The thing has been out for 5 years. And literally billions and billions of doses have been administered around the world. I think we have enough data on it. You know, it's better than getting it and then having a severe disease and then dying from it or killing one of your family members with it.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I understand. I had the hesitation too, but I really, really don't trust COVID itself. Woof.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. We're nearly set with our NFL playoff picture. Mm-hmm. We have an idea of what's going to happen. The Cardinals offseason continues. Blues take a loss last night to Buffalo, playing uninspired. That's the word I'm hearing. We'll talk to Joe Roderick about that. He is joining us when we come back on KMOX. Chris and Amy on KMOX, and we are halfway through today. Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll talk sports then. Bernie Miklas and me.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having 4 kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
On the show today, right now, we are joined by Joe Roderick. He's a friend of KMOX and handles, he's a content and operations guy over at STL Sports Central. And Joe is with us now on KMOX. How's it going, Joe?
It's going good, man. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. Are you bored with this Cardinals offseason or what? We've had a couple of moves. But are you sitting here waiting? All right, something else has to happen.
Yes. Actually, Brendan Schaefer and I, before our show yesterday, we're texting about that because I'm sure, Chris, you do the same thing before Gas House Gang. It's kind of like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? And for a while, man, we had all kinds of stuff. Like, okay, hey, who's going to catch? Like, well, how much is Yvonne Herrera going to play? What are they going to do with Lars Nootbaar? And you had all these hypotheticals. And okay, we've kind of ran through them. Like, okay, let's move on. Like, they got the Sonny Gray thing done real quick, and we were real happy about that. And the Wilson Contreras thing kind of popped up out of nowhere. But we're sitting here, and I'm starting to wonder, like, the Brendan Donovan situation, I'm not as concerned about that. Every team wants him. 29 teams in Major League Baseball should also want Brendan Donovan on their team. We know that. I think it's going to come down to make Heim Bloom an offer he just can't refuse. The one that's worrying me more and more every day, every week, is Nolan Arenado, because does anybody want him? I don't think anybody does, because it would be real simple for a team to look there and say, listen, we can't afford Alex Bregman. We're not going to go that route. We're not going to go out and sign Suarez. He's too much for us. Hey, I bet the Cardinals would pay us a whole lot of money to take Nolan Arenado off their hands. And here we sit, I mean, a day before 2026, and we haven't even heard whispers of a rumor of a team that is interested in Nolan Arenado. And there is a 0% chance that he will be at spring training for the Cardinals in Jupiter. I don't know where he's going to be right now or what they're going to do with him.
So let's say he is here. Let's say we get to spring training and he's on the damn team, right? I mean, he's got to start, right? Or do they play him differently and say, look, we've got younger guys we want to play. But I don't know how you could do that. It's almost like you have to play him.
Well, if he's here, you play him. But do you see a scenario where are we February 10th, 11th? Like, are we looking at that week as far as when the team should be there, when pitchers and catchers report? I don't think it's been announced yet. I haven't seen it announced yet, but like, that's kind of the ideal time when that will be. I think right now you just say, okay, Nolan, hey, you don't have to come to Jupiter. Like, go do what you need to do right now to work out for Team Puerto Rico for the World Baseball Classic. Like, go do that. We'll figure it out here. Like, we will have this done by March 28th. Like, we'll figure this out. You go do your thing. Like, he wouldn't be a distraction. Like, this isn't a disgruntled employee that's demanding a trade or anything like that. I just think you have to move forward without him. And if Chaim Bloom has a whiteboard in his office with the team on it for 26, I don't even think Nolan Arenado's name is on that whiteboard.
Joe, with the analogy would be like the St. Louis Blues, general manager Doug Armstrong, you know, people are upset with how the season is going. And he said, yes, we could make some trades, but I'm not taking pennies on the dollar. You know, that's not what he wants to do. With the Cardinals, how much willingness is there to take pennies on the dollar? Where are they as far as that goes? If you know that you can't build around Arenado, does that mean by default you might make a trade that maybe puts you at a disadvantage?
The only one I could see where that, like a scenario where that would play in, would be trading somebody like Nolan Gorman. I think that's the only one I would look at where, okay, we can't get rid of Arenado, I guess we have to move on from Gorman. And I don't know if there's a market out there for him at this moment either. I think 2 years ago, yeah, but 2 years ago, I think the Cardinals looked at Nolan Gorman and were like, wow, we have a 40 home run hitter on our hands. And now I think everybody looks at it and is like, okay, maybe we were wrong on him. Maybe the book's out on him. I think that would be the only like, if you can't move on from Arenado, and again, I don't see that being the case, but I think Gorman would be the guy you would then have to move, because nobody else, like, that's right now, like, he's kind of the stopgap there, I think. Maybe because Weatherholt, you put him anywhere. Like, you're going to find a place to play him. You're going to put him at second. And if Donovan's still here, you put him in left. Like, there's a lot of different moving pieces for that. But I think Gorman's either your starting third baseman or DH next year, or just your DH.
Talking with Joe Roderick from STL Sports Central on KMOX. And we've got, we're very close to having the NFL playoff, picture set. It is becoming more clear. The Rams lost inexplicably to the Falcons last night. And this is one of those seasons with the Chiefs out of the playoffs, with the Lions missing the playoffs. I'm not really even sure who if there is a strong favorite. I know there are betting favorites, but I'm not sure there's a team that I would look to and say, absolutely, that's the team right there. That's the one that's going to win the Super Bowl.
I put a future on the Bills about a week and a half ago. I think after they beat the Patriots, I put a future on the Bills, and I regret it now only because they lost to the Eagles, and I think the odds got better. Like, I could have won more money for it now, so I do regret putting that bet in as early as I did. But right now, the Bills are still my favorite. I think Bills, Eagles, what we just saw this Sunday, I still look at that as the favorite, and I think out of the AFC for sure, it's the quarterback. I mean, the reason the Chiefs went year after year after year is because they had the best quarterback there in Patrick Mahomes. And I think right now you look at the AFC and Josh Allen's the best quarterback. he's far and away the best quarterback, the most experienced quarterback in the playoffs in the AFC. So as good as Bo Nix has been, as good as Drake May has been, who probably is going to win the MVP, I still think that the Bills are the front runners, no matter what seed they get in the AFC playoffs. The NFC, I have no clue. I really have no clue. I guess if the 49ers get the one seed, which I think they're still, I think it comes down to this weekend, they have to beat the Seahawks to get the one seed, and then everything goes through their home field. Everything goes through Santa Clara, including the Super Bowl, goes through that. And watching them in that game, that Bears-49ers game was one of the most fun games I've watched this whole season. With that, if that offense is going to be that good, then maybe they're the favorite, but I feel like the favorite in the NFC changes each and every week right now.
Yeah, it really does. I don't recall the last time it was like this, pretty much across the NFL and especially in the NFC. So it'll be a pretty exciting playoff coming up here. And we spent some time yesterday. I mean, I'm a Bears fan, and so I've paid pretty close attention to what Luther Burden has been doing. And he had the quad injury from yesterday. It appears to not be, or from 2 days ago, appears to not be serious. But that guy had one of the best rookie performances from a Bears receiver ever. And that was on Sunday. He's really turning into something and might end up being a star, Joe.
And Chris, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of your old coworkers in Chicago. Like, are they believers in the Bears, or are they expecting?
I think they are now
back into a pumpkin at some point. Like, what is the vibe up there? Is it just enjoying the ride?
I think the last 3 weeks they feel like, oh, and even with the loss on Sunday, I feel like it's okay. They lost that game, but they're in it. They're in every game, and you don't really. It doesn't feel flukish anymore. There was a time, even over about a 5 week period, where they kept winning and you thought, all right, sure, they're winning, but are they actually good? I don't think you can. I don't think that's a question anymore. I think they are legitimately a good team.
It's almost like them losing that game. It was like, okay, they can lose these games. Okay, everything bent. Like, if that hook and ladder play would have worked at the end of the game to win it for them, Ben Johnson would have had a statue built up there already for what he's done. But I agree with that. Yeah, I think you see, okay, like, they're actually playing with contenders. They're not just beating, you know, some of the worst teams in the league. Like, this is maybe as the season's grown, they've kind of evolved into a better team week after week.
Yeah, you beat Philly, you beat the Packers, you almost beat the 49ers in their stadium. Like, that's not a fluke anymore.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, and then still, and all of them were close games, and you were able to hold off on those first two, and, you know, they, again, I mean, they were 5 yards away from winning that final one, too. Like, it was there. That loss wasn't a blowout, and everything just seems, yeah, everything seems to be clicking right now for them, too. But I still, again, they're not a team I would put as a top three right now in the NFC.
All right, I'm going to give you a choice. We have just a couple more minutes here. So we can either talk about the Billikens or the Blues. You want to pick one?
The Blues are just frustrating. It's such a frustrating watch night after night, because you look at the standings with them, and it's going into last night, they were 1 point out of a playoff spot.
They've
been bad all year. Like, how is this the case? And then you go and look at their overtime record, and you can just pinpoint things here and there that, you know, that they could do just slightly differently, and I don't know if we'd have a better view of them. Like, Amy, would you feel a lot better if they split those overtime losses that they had on the year, or do you think this is still like a disappointing season for them?
Yeah, no, it feels like a disappointing season because the run last year into the playoffs and the way they played against Winnipeg, taking them to 7 games, so close to beating the best team in the NHL, I think perhaps gave us a false sense of where the team was in its readiness to compete, specifically in the Central Division, which is just absolutely stacked. To me, the points would be nice because you'd say, oh yeah, wow, we're in a wild card spot despite being bad. Because it doesn't change the team at all. And here's, I think this is very telling from last night. So Coach Jim Montgomery said, after the game last night about the team, that they had poor puck play, really contributed to the first two goals against. We're running a face-off play. We're putting it in the skates. Sorry, and then he talked about how the team is not, the effort's not there. What it really comes down to is we've got to have a better effort than that. We have to play with more purpose and pride, and the physicality just isn't good enough right now. He went on to talk about Kyrou and said he needs to move his feet. He's a weapon when he moves his feet, and he's skating. He's creating turnovers. He's skating pucks wide. I just didn't see him doing those things tonight. So I say those quotes because Lou Korak of the Hockey News obviously has, at the postgame conference as well, had a really good anecdote from someone on Twitter who said, my girlfriend was at the game with me who doesn't know anything about hockey, and she asked, why is Buffalo so much faster than the Blues? And they're like, that pretty much sums it up. Like, it was her first hockey game. She doesn't know anything about hockey, and she was asking, why is Buffalo so much faster than the Blues? I say all of that because that indicates who they are more than the points.
Yeah, it's frustrating. And as far as the Billikens go, I don't think they're going to win by 80 on Wednesday. I don't think that's going to
so
happen.
Bad.
And my other prediction is that Rammer and Earl are going to have such a better time calling that game on Wednesday than they probably did this weekend in an 81-point victory.
Well, I mean, you're playing a high school team. There's not much you can... not much excitement you can get out of that.
I know. How is that legal? It shouldn't be legal.
I don't. I mean, it's
bring
not
on
like
conference play.
It's not dangerous.
Yeah, but, right. I guess that's why it's not dangerous. Otherwise, it feels like it's like if you were like, oh, I'm going to practice fighting. I'm going to start with kindergartners. Like you're like, well, you can't fight kids.
Like Kramer fighting the children,
yes!
And when he was when he was learning karate.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Well, yeah, tomorrow they do open A-10 play. We got the broadcast starting at 2:45 right here on KMOX. You can listen to Billikens basketball. They've only lost one time this year, Joe. So, and just this one last thing.
On a buzzer beater.
Right,
so,
right.
They very well could be undefeated.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I ask Rammer this pretty much every week, and I know it's way down the line. We're talking several weeks from now, but you can't help, you know, when you're following along a college basketball season, every win, every loss is, okay, what does this do for us in terms of the tournament and an at-large bid if we get there? And if you're a college basketball fan, you think about that all the time because, that's the whole thing is getting to the tournament. Is there, as long as they do well in conference play, is the resume in the non-conference good enough?
I mean, I think they've played a tougher non-con than Mizzou did before conference play, and the wins I think speak for themselves. I haven't really gotten into the whole like the tier or quad one, quad two, all those victories and everything. I just know Mizzou didn't play anybody in their non-conference play, which made the outcome of that bragging rights game just so predictable last week.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was going to be at least a 20-point win, and I was way off. It was a 40-point win. So I think you can tell a lot by how these teams play the tougher competition going into the season or going into the conference season. But SLU doesn't have to challenge themselves as much as the Mizzou does. On top of that too, I don't think the A-10 is nearly as strong as the SEC. So Mizzou needed a lot more battles, and I think SLU is going to take care of business, and they'll probably get in. Yeah.
Joe Roderick, STL Sports Central. We appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
That's right. Don't forget tomorrow, 2:45, the broadcast, the St. Louis Sports Hall of Famer, Bob Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the call. Billikens basketball against St. Joseph.
I like when the Billikens are good.
Yeah, 12-1 is 12-1 is a great start.
That's fun. Winning is fun. We've kind of forgotten recently how fun it is to win.
In St. Louis?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're damn right. It's been a while.
I forgot. It's really fun.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. We've only got a couple of no prize pick'em weeks left. We'll do this week and then next week ahead of the wild card weekend. That'll be it for the season. So if you want to participate and are available at 12 o'clock on Friday, it's 11? Oh, yeah, Gas House Gang's at 12. 11 o'clock on Friday, Let us know by texting into the show, 314-436-7900, and let us know. Give us your name and say, I want to do it, and then maybe you'll get picked.
And then at 11 o'clock, Matt will text you. You up?
Well, no, he'll let you have notice.
Oh, okay.
He's going to tell you ahead of time.
Okay. It's 11 p.m., by the way.
Oh, 11 a.m. You have to be available at 11 a.m. this Friday.
All right. Update on the St. Charles County judge who got into a bit of hot water for wearing an Elvis Presley wig and discussing politics in court. He has been, quote, booted from office. Judge Matthew E.P. Thornhill had previously agreed to resign after 2 years. That also included a six-month unpaid suspension. But the Missouri Supreme Court rejected that recommendation and basically said if he's unfit to serve and so he's retiring in 2 years, then he's unfit to serve now. He shouldn't still have 2 years plus a suspension. And so they removed him from office. I'll just read from the Fox 2 story, our partners over there. Quote, the commission found several instances of Thornhill wearing an Elvis Presley wig in court, making irrelevant references to Elvis during court proceedings, and occasionally playing Elvis music during litigant swear-ins. These actions were deemed inappropriate and found to undermine the dignity of the judiciary. The political stuff, I think, was even worse because he did mention his political affiliation and preferred candidates to various litigants, witnesses, and attorneys, also asking some of them if they had seen his Thornhill for Judge campaign signs.
I've never heard anybody use the word before now, use the word inappropriate to also mean awesome. Because that guy is, I need a new cause. Since my sheriff has been ousted, he's out. Sheriff Montgomery is done. He will never be the sheriff of St. Louis again. Well, maybe I need a new guy.
Well, he said, Thornhill, the judge, said that dressing up as Elvis was an attempt to be funny and put litigants at ease.
Well, I think it's fun. I almost want to get in trouble so I can appear before him.
The next fact is that the state Supreme Court did not see the humor in Thornhill's behavior. And I will say this one.
Of course not.
If you got to rely on someone to see the humor, the Supreme Court may not be the place to go.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, boring. I thought you guys would get the bit.
Hey, when we come back, we are going to talk to an economist because there are many economists out there who believe or who say the numbers are suggesting that because home ownership is a little more difficult to obtain, that people are not saving like they should because they think, what's the point?
Right.
And so we're going to talk to an economist about that. Molly Basil, senior principal with Cotality, is going to join us when we come back on KMOX. But speaking of saving, you, I know as you get to the end of the year, you're paying close attention to your finances and, you know, you have that financial plan going into 2026 and you want to know where it is. Krentz Financial Group, that is our appeal to you because at Krentz Financial Group, they are well equipped to help you out, help you navigate your finances and help you get on the right track if you don't believe you're there right now.
Yeah, for over six decades, Krentz Financial Group has helped families in the St. Louis area have peace of mind, especially for that year ahead. So imagine starting this year knowing that your financial plan is solid. No guesswork, no surprises, just clarity and confidence. That's what a fresh review can deliver. And that's why at Krentz Financial Group, they're committed to proactive communication and white glove service. So you'll always know where you stand.
You know what that means? That means they're going to take care of you and you're going to feel like you're their only client. And that's the thing is that some of these bigger firms, it's almost like you're just a number and it doesn't feel personal. Krentz Financial Group, whether it's Todd or Kyle or Justin, I mean, you know that you're going to be taken care of. So check them out, kfgadvisors.com. That's kfgadvisors.com.
Securities offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.